You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I once had a couple that persistently came to me every 4 to 6 months. I can almost count on them reappearing at my door. The interesting thing was, each time we had a session where there was a reconciling of what had happened. The husband apologized for what he had done, the wife offered her forgiveness, and they would leave and go on their path, only to come back 4 to 6 months later with pretty much the same pattern. Every now and then, there's a little bit different frame of what had happened, but pretty much we were in the same place where there was some disrespect that I would generally agree the man needed to apologize. And then the wife would accept and forgive, and they would begin to move on. I kept hoping that eventually we would get to a place where that was a permanent state. And after about 4 or 5 iterations of this, where I felt like I was playing Groundhog Day with the exact same session each time, I finally said, you know what? This doesn't seem to be working for you. Something's wrong when you're doing the same thing or almost the same thing over again, and you're having to forgive almost the same thing each time, only to have them return 4 to 6 months later. Every 2 or 3 visits, I would have that same speech. And it made me really think about the fact that sometimes we have this idea that forgiveness wipes the slate clean. That there is the place where we make an apology, there is forgiveness, and nothing else needs to change. And this is where we get to what I consider to be an immutable law of marriage, that forgiveness is not a blank check. Forgiveness is a process of change, and if it's not a process of change, there's a problem. Let's put together this whole idea of apology and forgiveness as a grouping, that forgiveness and apology is not a blank check. I have said many times that forgiveness is separate from whether the other person asks for it or not, but in a relationship, when we're talking in a marriage, there comes a place and a time for there to be an accounting for our behavior and a place to say, you know what, I'm really sorry for that. Can we start again? And for the other person to say, I accept your apology. Yes, we can, as a reconciliation. So let me distinguish that what I'm talking about today is the pattern of apology and forgiveness that should be alive in any relationship. Let me also say that if somebody has done something wrong to you, you can still forgive. But again, this applies that it is not a blank check. I never suggest that if you forgive, that you have to repeatedly forgive the same event over and over. You don't have to be Groundhog Day with this behavior. We all make mistakes. So really, there is a question of when we make a mistake, do we learn from that mistake or do we simply repeat that mistake? You may have seen the quote, or the quote that has become a meme on the internet, that the first time is an accident and the second time is a choice. Let me add another element to that. The first time is an accident. The second time then is a choice. The third time, it's a habit. And what we're talking about is how we intervene somewhere in there and decide we're not going to keep doing it the same way on both sides of the equation. The person who is asking for forgiveness and the person who is doing the forgiveness. Those two are linked together. Sometimes people want to use I'm sorry as a get out of jail free card that keeps them from having to make a change. I've seen this so many times where I realize that I'm sorry is really an attempt to stop an argument. The apology is a way of getting out of the conflict. That at some point, it's not really about looking at what's happened, looking at the behavior and the attitude that might be behind that, but just trying to stop the conflict. Now, the ending of conflict is a great start to healing, but conflict sometimes brings us to the place of recognizing that there has to be some change, that there has to be some shift that happens. Too many times I see people apologize simply to stop the argument. They want to get to a place of forgiveness, not because they wanted a change, but because they wanted to end the conflict. They wanted to get back on the good side of the spouse. They wanted to get out of the doghouse. They wanted to get to a place of peace. I can tell you, as somebody who is not a big fan of conflict, that I'm all about living peacefully. But living peacefully doesn't mean living peacefully at all costs, accepting all behavior and forgiving all behavior and not changing any behavior. That's on both sides of the coin. The problem is that get out of jail card that we play as the apology. You know, I did the apology, now you got to forgive me, can sometimes leave couples hurting. Because the forgiveness is a process of change. Forgiveness is a process of changing behavior, attitude, and how we treat each other. And when that doesn't happen, then there is no changing growth in the relationship. And the person who is forgiving is at risk of being hurt repeatedly for the exact same thing. This immutable law of marriage is almost an equivalent or an equal or an add-on to the immutable law of marriage that trust is a gift. Because when trust has been hurt and when there has been an apology and trust has been given again, and so forgiveness has been given again, you may start on a new slate unless that same action is repeated. And this is where forgiveness gets to be a problem, because we can forgive, but sometimes when it's a repeated event, we have to think about what really is going on. Forgiveness is not permission to stay the same. I'm sorry should start the process of change, not stall it out. And so as you think about that, think about how many times we get stuck in that trap. Maybe you know people who will make a mistake and then they'll repeat the mistake. They'll ask forgiveness. They'll get forgiveness. They'll make the mistake again, repeat the mistake again, ask for forgiveness again, and around that cycle goes. So there really are two sides to this law. First, if you have apologized, it is not just for forgiveness. It is to start your process of change. When I'm working with couples who are trying to restore a relationship, and usually that's an individual that wants to do that, I often recommend an apology letter. And one of the things I don't do is I don't provide a template, kind of a fill-in-the-blank template for that. I give very thorough instructions on how to write that letter, but I don't give a model for it. The reason is because both sides are important in the process. The person who gets that apology letter, it's very important for that person to hear the words, hear the language of the person apologizing. It is equally important for the person who is apologizing to come to terms with the role they've played and where the marriage is. Now, let me be clear. When I'm talking about this apology letter, I am not talking about an apology letter to win somebody back and convince them that it's all your fault. But it is a letter of taking accountability for your role and where the marriage is. And we all have things for which we can apologize. That's why I often think that that's the beginning point for anyone. So instead of saying, wait, why do I have to apologize? Why doesn't my spouse have to apologize? It's to recognize that you have a place to be accountable. And in that letter writing, the change has to be on both sides. I want the person who's receiving that letter to feel the depth of the apology, but I also want the person who's writing it to come to terms with that, because this is the chance to make a change. When I talk about my three C's to saving a marriage, and they are connecting with your spouse, changing yourself, and creating a new path, the changing yourself is the one that most people struggle with the most. And yet when they write the apology letter, they are face to face with the places where they need to make a change. So if you've apologized, it's not just to get up to a level of forgiveness. It's not just to create an opening, a possibility of a new change or new opening in the relationship. It is to start your process of change. It is to get you to a place where you're growing to a new venture, a new place in your own life, a new being. The other side of the coin is a person who is forgiving. If you have forgiven, that does not mean you have to forever accept the behavior that led to that apology. You don't have to repeatedly grant forgiveness when somebody keeps repeating the same behavior, because at that point, it is a habit. It's beyond just a choice, but it is certainly not any longer an accident. So whether you're on the side of the apologizer or the forgiver, this is not a get out of jail free card. This is the beginning of a new relationship. An apology and forgiveness creates a mutual covenant together of saying, I will let go of what has happened. You will change your behavior. Both of those have to go hand in hand. Forgiveness is not a blank check. So how do we violate this law, this immutable law of marriage? First, we take forgiveness too lightly. Sometimes we keep forgiving the same mistake over and over without any accountability. Second, we use forgiveness as a crutch to avoid change, to get past the conflict. Those are the two biggest ways we break this rule, because eventually we wear out the forgiveness if we don't make a change. We break it by repeatedly using that as a way of stopping the change and of placating a spouse and of avoiding any real change in the behavior. And then we act as if our spouse always owes us a forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice of the person forgiving, not a demand of the person who's done wrong. I certainly believe in forgiveness, and I certainly believe that it is beneficial to the relationship and to the person who is doing the forgiving, but it is a choice of that person. So how do we bring this back into abeyance? If you have broken this law, this immutable law of marriage, how do you get back into obeying that law? Well, one is to recognize that forgiveness is a big deal. That when somebody forgives you, you do have a chance to start fresh. You do have a new place to start from, but you don't have the option of repeating the same mistake. The biggest way for the person who's apologizing to get back into alignment with this law is to remember that when you apologize, it has to be followed up with change. Several times in my life, I've said to the person, I don't need you to apologize. I need you to change. It's not that I didn't care about the apology, but the apology was secondary to change. I don't need you to apologize. I need you to change is how most of us feel. And yet sometimes we don't get beyond the apology. So for the person who's apologizing, to use that as an impetus to make a change. For the person who's forgiving, to realize you don't have to leave a blank check. You don't have to keep writing that same check. You can at some point say, you know what? I've apologized enough. Until I see a change, nothing else can happen. That's a fair place to be if the damage continues to be done to the relationship by actions. As much as I like to see restored relationships, I also believe the restoration has to include transformation. It requires two new people to create a new relationship to move forward in more powerful ways to avoid where they've been before. Forgiveness is not a blank check. An apology is not the way to avoid change. Forgiveness is about creating a new place to begin. An apology is the beginning of your change. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to bring your marriage back into obedience of these immutable laws of marriage. And remember that forgiveness is not a blank check.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.